Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Partying with everybody else except for me.
Well, if you'd come out every once in a while, then you'd be able to party with us.
Yeah.
You'd be able to write with us. You'd be able to, sing with us, podcast with us. But
was there singing at 412 Brewery?
I almost got it on tape. There was like this group of people that came in that were doing some sort of bar crawl, and they had this whole Pittsburgh drinking song, and I was a little bit tipsy myself, and kind of just mesmerized by the fact that there was like 30 people singing, that I completely forgot to record it. Cause that's how good I am with, I'm good at my job, Chris. I bring my portable recorder and I don't record hardly anything. That's what I do.
All right. Well, before we get into this week, I want to do a little house cleaning here. Bucks in the Basement, the site is going to be getting a lot of updates very, very soon. And that's because of some weird oddities going on with, just tell me about it, okay? Something happened over there at SI, and some of the folks that we've been talking to, and you've been writing over there, some weird things happened. So why don't we get that out right away so people know where they can get their Bucks content?
Yeah, so I guess it was probably about last Tuesday, Gary Morgan and I, we were writing at InsideThePirates.com and SI channel. We get a direct message from our editor saying that he and the company have parted ways and they're not sure what direction they're moving in. So what's my first reaction? I'm like, I can do this. I can write this stuff. So
right.
I started, emailing anybody I could, direct messaging the guy straight on Twitter, everything, and put all this information out. And the guy's like pretty much like, he's like ghosting us. So I don't know if he doesn't want Inside the Pirates to exist anymore. I don't know if he's wasn't happy with what we were doing, because I know me and Gary were bringing in pretty much a lot of the views and the clicks and everything, and doing a lot of the social media marketing.
You had a solid event at 412 Brewing, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, people don't get that. People come walking in the door at something. That means there's a lot more people listening. Like, very few listeners actually make it to events. You had a nice little group that showed up over at that thing. You did well for your first event.
Yeah, and it was just so confusing to me. So, Gary and I just kind of had been like talking back and forth throughout the weekend, and I was been talking with you, and I just basically said, let's just start our own site.
Yeah. So Bucks in the Basement is now going to have, right now it's called, I don't know if it's going to stay that way, Inside the Bucks Basement. Right? Is that how you have it?
InsideTheBucksBasement.com, yes.
Okay. That link is right at BucksInTheBasement.com. So you go to BucksInTheBasement.com, and now you'll see analysis up in the corner right now of the site, and in the drop-down if you're on your mobile phone or your app or your any kind of like little device or something like that, if you don't see it right away. And we're going to start putting the link in there in the show description. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you'll actually see a link to Inside the Bucks Basement, where you can read articles from Craig and Gary Morgan and anybody else that starts writing for them, because there's been some turnover there at the SI thing.
And yeah, it's just been crazy.
If they're not going to hand it to us, we'll just do our own thing. Now, they might decide they want to hand it to us, but if they don't hand it to us, we're just going to do our own thing, because Bucks in the Basement continues to grow, get a lot of listeners. It's doing extremely well. We thank everybody out there that's listening to it. It should be a fun year, and we're right at the beginning of this thing. This is the first season of Pirates baseball with Bucks in the Basement really raring and ready to go. So it should continue to grow and get bigger. And you do a great job, my friend. Gary does a good job as well writing. We do the podcast. So this is where you're going to have to go get your content right now, because everybody else, it's like, I guess the Pirates aren't very good, so everybody's skipping town. I don't know. But we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere. We, and Gary and I, we just want to keep writing, and we want to keep giving the analysis to the people. And, you know, we were getting DMs and stuff, like asking where the heck we were at and what was going on. And once we announced it, you know, people were like, what? We can't. Where are we going to get our stuff at? We like your analysis. We like, you know, the articles that you're writing. And once we came back, I mean, this was the first day when we're recording today. And, you know, we had a pretty good turnout just for two articles that we wrote for being away for a week. So, Garrett, we're pretty happy about this. And we're happy to, you know, just build this family here.
All right. So BucksInTheBasement.com is now the place to go. You can get the podcast right on that. We've got it set up where we're going to start being able to do video podcast and video feeds from it. And you're also going to be able to click on analysis for Inside the Bucks Basement, which is all part of Bucks in the Basement. The whole thing is part of Bucks in the Basement. So you're going to get all of that content. Craig is a beast when it comes to this stuff. This is a passionate fan. It's for fans. It's by fans. And this fan is not going to be shut down. He is moving forward with this season. That said, we just had a fantasy baseball draft. You joined my league, my friend. And I found it very telling because you get to keep a bunch of players. We've talked about this, I think, before. You get to keep a bunch of players. You get a total of 40 on your team, 26 on the major league roster, and 14 guys you keep in your minors. You can do whatever you want to with that. Every year you get to keep everybody except when it's 30 years or older. If a guy's 30 years or older, you can only keep four of those guys. So you keep four guys that are 30 years and older in age, and everybody else you can keep. You have control over them. In this league, it's a dynasty fantasy baseball league. You took over a team this year. You immediately started adding Pittsburgh Pirates. But when it came time to go out and get prospects, I was surprised that you did not add O'Neill Cruz, and you dropped your boy Trevor Williams to make room for other players. So I want to get into these two guys. I want to know what's going on with them in spring training, what your actual opinion is of them, because I find it very interesting. You did add other Pirates players to your roster because you are a fanboy and you do love the Pirates. So your thing was like, you traded Luis Robert to me and you picked up Newman and a couple other guys. But I mean, like, I knew that if I put Kevin Newman in there, you'd make that deal. And you probably feel silly about it right now.
No, I feel absolutely ridiculous about it.
You feel so stupid about it right now. I know you do. That's how fanboy you are. I took advantage of you in a trade, but you didn't want O'Neill Cruz, and you didn't want your boy Trevor Williams. So why?
Well, with Trevor Williams, that one, I don't know, that one's tough for me.
My daughter added him in the league.
I know. I saw that, and I kept on looking at him every single time I was looking for a starting pitcher. I'm nervous. One of the last times we talked.
What are you nervous about? You already got into an argument with him. He blocked you on Twitter, right?
No, he did.
Has he unblocked you yet?
No, he hasn't unblocked me yet.
Blocked you on Twitter because you gave him a hard time because he had a bad start.
Yeah.
And then you dropped him off your fantasy team and he was like, this guy's a jerk, and he blocked you. So what is it with you and Trevor Williams? Where is the conflict here?
There's really no conflict. I love the dude and I want him to succeed. He last year did one of the coolest things I've ever seen anybody do, where he tips the cap to Steve Blass in Steve Blass's last broadcast. And I had tears in my eyes. I really did. And this guy, he's a good dude. I'm just really, the spring training progresses, I just keep on getting more and more nervous with his starts because he doesn't seem to be finding a rhythm. He doesn't seem to be finding the zone. I mean, his last outing, he didn't do as poorly as he had been doing. He got shelled a couple times in a row, but this last time, even then, he, like, you know, was walking some guys, you know, giving up some hard hits. It's just, I'm hoping that this is like a, hey, let's, you know, get the dust off. I was injured last year. I'm trying a new pitching technique, and this is just spring training. But the further and further that I get into it, I just worry, man. I really, really worry that this is going to be a repeat of the second half of last year, which Trevor Williams wasn't good. It's not that I want to see it. I was, On that one, I was actually just trying to make a smart baseball move and see if I could pick somebody, another starting pitcher up or a younger guy or something. I don't know. But I'm really worried about Trevor right now. And like I said, I know it's early. I know it's spring training. But the closer it gets to opening day, which we're in the month of opening day, and I haven't seen a good outing from Trevor Williams yet.
Well, here's my thing. And first of all, I think you're wrong. And I think you're going to regret this move by not keeping him on your fantasy team. Because like I said in the rules here, and I'm only using this whole fantasy thing for the listeners so they can get an idea of why I think that he's made a mistake with Trevor Williams, who's only 27 years old, who in your fantasy league, you've got control over him for another 3 years at least before you got to decide if he's good enough to make one of your top four over 30 keepers. But also because the Pirates have control of him as well. And if you look at Trevor Williams over the last couple of years, there's a stat that I love, Craig, and it's called the WHIP, the walks and hits per innings pitched. It goes all the way back to when my father taught me how to play Strat-O-Matic baseball. And have you ever played Strat-O-Matic baseball?
I actually have. I'm that big of a dork. I have, yes.
If you're a baseball fan and you're a dork, you've played Strat-O-Matic baseball. Basically, you have these little cards. It's a great game. And we used to have a Strat-O-Matic club in high school where we would take that year's players and we would meet after school and we drafted players and made our own teams and played a season against each other throughout the entire school year. And we would
that
be
sounds
in,
awesome.
Yeah, we'd be in this one teacher's classroom, the biology teacher, Doc Mathias. We'd sit in his classroom and we play Strat-O-Matic games. And so, like, you would have your game scheduled. You show up, you're like, okay, it's game whatever. I mean, we played, like, something. We played a whole school year. So we played, I think, 120-game schedule. And then we had full playoffs. And guys were, like, huddled around during the postseason watching the games. It was, like, intense. And we played this for a couple of years. And then I graduated. And I assume that it continued at least for a little while. But it's the introduction to sabermetrics. The idea that the player's card and the probability of certain rolls of the dice that come up and the combinations of certain numbers. So like with a 7, there's so many different ways you can get a 7 in dice. You have far more ways you can get a 7 than you get a 2. So if a guy gets a home run on a 7, he's clearly a great player. If a guy only gets his home runs on like when he rolls a 2, then he doesn't get as many home runs. It uses the probability of the dice with the guy's probability of his hitting to figure out, does he get a single? Does he get a double? Does he run well? Can he get cut down at the plate? Okay, if there's a play at the plate, all of a sudden you're taking into account like the outfielder's fielding ability card versus your guy's running ability. It's sabermetrics in a nutshell before anybody knew what sabermetrics was. And the WHIP, when it comes to a pitcher, to me, is the easiest way to figure out what was the best sabermetrics card. Because a guy who doesn't put a lot of guys on base also doesn't give up a lot of runs. And a WHIP tells you if a pitcher is a good pitcher. I've always said starting pitchers with a WHIP of 1.30 or lower are legit major league starting pitchers. They're guys good enough to be in my fantasy baseball team. They're guys good enough to be in my Strat-O-Matic baseball team. Trevor Williams had a 1.31 WHIP in 2017 and a 1.18 WHIP in 2018. Now, that 1.18 WHIP is more impressive to me than 14 wins that year. Because I know he went 14-10, and he had the low ERA at the 3.11, but that 1.18 WHIP, guys that have that who are starting pitchers, those are all-stars. Now, he didn't do well last year, but it wasn't like he was carrying around a 1.6. He was only a little bit off the pace at a 1.41 WHIP, okay? If he bounces back this year in his year 27, which is supposed to be a prime year for players, it would not be something surprising. Like, if you look back on the history of players at this point in their lives, a lot of them start to figure things out. I believe he's a complete bounce back candidate, and you're going to look silly when he starts playing well this year.
Yeah, well, and I'll be made to look silly by your 14-year-old daughter. That's going to be awesome.
She's made it to the playoffs all three of the last 3 years. She makes it to the playoffs more than anybody else. You want to know why? Because she doesn't do it with her heart. She doesn't. She's not married to any one player. She is cold as ice. She traded Max Scherzer this year because she's like, I'm going to rebuild and I can get these two other prospects and they're going to be great. She has no loyalty to anybody. She's the Bill James. She's the Billy Bean of our fantasy league. She doesn't care about any of these guys. She just looks at stats and she's always good. And she picked up Trevor Williams right away.
So that means, man.
Oh, you're screwed. You're right. Absolutely screwed. You're toast. Here, I'm going to read. How about this? I'm just going to read the player outlook. Because I say this all the time. You can read what a local beat reporter says. You can listen to a guy like Craig. You can listen to a guy like me on a podcast. You can listen to the local radio station. But these guys all just cover your players. They cover your team. They're looking extra hard at the Pirates. What if we read the review from somebody who looks at Trevor Williams, not as a person, and Trevor Williams is a person, I'm not trying to be cold there, but looks at him as a commodity where you're trying to get good statistics and good performance. So the player outlook for him on CBS Fantasy Sports is this. Trevor Williams showed flashes of brilliance in 2018, but failed to make much of a fantasy impact in 2019, finishing the year with a 5.38 ERA and a 1.41 whip around injuries. That's a key right there, man. Injuries screw up everything. His struggles can be attributed in part to the juiced ball. He had 27 home runs allowed, up from 15 the year before. And they're all saying in spring training, the ball feels like it used to feel like. Major League Baseball has quietly fixed that problem. The right-hander found success in 2018 by limiting the amount of hard hits allowed, and even the homer issues last year, he was still better than average in terms of average exit velocity. So balls were getting out without a high average velocity. Again, pointing to the fact that if the ball was different, it could have changed Trevor Williams' trajectory. His fastball velocity actually ticked up in 2019. He got faster. His swinging strike rate got faster. This is a guy where everything points to the fact that even though he's trying to figure things out in spring training, Craig, this is a guy that 1.18 whip in 2018, that 1.31 whip in 2017, that was not the anomaly, I think. The anomaly was last year. I think you made a mistake.
And I could definitely see that. I'm just worrying that whatever he did at the midway point of last season when he was coming back from his injury to change his swing and not change his pitching motion, and now that he's changing his technique again, I'm hoping he pulls it together. Like I said, I'm a Trevor Williams fan. I am just starting to get nervous. I hear the statistics. I hear the history. I'm just saying sometimes like this is a time where this stats nerd is just kind of using his eye, and the times I've seen him pitch so far, he just looks really, really uncomfortable. And it doesn't look like a guy that's trying something. It looks like a guy that can't find something.
All right. Before I move on to why you hate O'Neal Cruz and you didn't draft him too, I do want to point out one final thing, because you keep bringing up this. Well, he changed his delivery. I'm going to tell you about a guy who changed his delivery before last year. He was the worst statistical pitcher in baseball in 2018 and ended up starting the All-Star game in 2019. His name is Lucas Giolito. Changed his delivery and became a stud pitcher. Changing your delivery sometimes is a good thing. You got new coaches, you got new guys watching him. I'm telling you right now, I want to be the guy on record that says Trevor Williams bounces back while you're the guy that wouldn't draft him. And you know what? Then I'm going to tweet Trevor, and me and him will have conversations. You can't, though, because he blocked you.
Yeah, I won't be able to see it. We're going to see anything.
No, I'll send you screenshots so you don't feel left out. Why not draft O'Neal Cruz? I know that today they screwed up. Where this podcast comes out on Tuesday. So on Monday, we're recording this Monday night. The Pirates, somehow the message got screwed up. Where
everybody
O'Neal Cruz was going to AAA, and then it turns out he's not going to AAA. And was there going to be a positional change too? What was going on?
No. They said it was saying like still at shortstop and everything, but the Pirates media department, like the actual Pirates Twitter, Adam Berry, you know, all the PG, everybody was posting O'Neal Cruz to AAA, and people are going nuts. Then all of a sudden, Adam Berry goes and he's like, "Oh, I just talked to Ben Sherrington." Yeah, I don't know where anybody got this information at. It's double A and he's going to stay a shortstop. And it makes absolutely no sense to me as to why everybody, like everybody in the media, including the Pirates media department, said that he was going to AAA. And I was like, you know what? That's a pretty aggressive move. I like that move. I like it. I like showing that aggression, because what else is he going to gain in double A? But that's the reason why I didn't draft him, because people will look at, I mean, I was recording, you know, when we were at the 412 Brewery, and he hits this monstrous home run that gets out in about a half a second and is like towering. It was on a fastball. There was a double that he hit off the wall, and he hit it to, you know, opposite field with the flick of the wrist. That was a fastball. Anytime.
Can you tell me O'Neal, he's Pedro Serrano from Major League? Is that what you're telling me?
From what I've seen,
for bats and he can't hit the curveball?
I have just seen that when he's in a rhythm, and that's why everybody is like, you know, go see him at batting practice. I'm like, at batting practice, they're all coming in smooth, straight, same speed. The guy's just winding up and just throwing it in, winding up and throwing it in. And O'Neal Cruz is cracking it a million miles. But every single time that I see a changeup, a curve, a slider, he has this, and I've talked about, he's like a hitch or a hole in his swing where he like almost like gets his hands tied up within themselves that he ends up looking silly. And I don't know if it's because of his size. I don't know if it's because of his eye. And as you're coming up through the minors, it's this hole in the swing is a lot easier to hide in like the low A's, the A's. And even when you start to get up into double A, because I mean, there's probably some guys who are just trying to prove themselves and they're working on pitches and they're trying to show they can throw hard. So they're trying to blow it past you. And O'Neal Cruz can take it. And, you know, it can hit it a country mile, as we would say around here. But once you get up into, you know, he was starting to struggle a little bit in double A when he went to the Arizona Fall League, when he went down to the Dominican Winter League, where there's guys throwing a lot of these off-speed pitches and everything. He struggled heavily and he had a ton of strikeouts. So that's just one, it's just a big, huge worry I have about him that, I mean, he's listed as I believe our number three prospect behind Mitch Keller, who's going to graduate, and Cabrian Hayes, who could also graduate this year. And then he's our number one prospect. And I'm thinking to myself, a number one prospect that I have questions about. I would think a number one prospect would be a guy that is like, you know what, stamp this no matter what. And like I said, you could, they'll show the highlights and they'll show the two big hits. But what they won't show is the other 20 swings that he took that he looked like he didn't know what was coming. And if he did, it sure didn't look like it to me, because he just looked confused and his hands got caught up and he got that hitch in that hole and it wasn't a smooth stroke.
Once again, my friend, I'm going to tell you how wrong you are about O'Neal Cruz.
I hope I am, man. Okay. You know I hope I am.
I'm going to give you the glimmer of hope on O'Neal Cruz, okay? And this is, I love you, and I love you as a person. You're a wonderful guy. You got a beard. I wish I could grow a beard like yours, okay? But you just sat there and you pointed out that O'Neal Cruz's strikeouts went up as he went up to double A. In single A in West Virginia in 2018, he had 103 at-bats with 100 strikeouts, so about one a game, right?
Yeah.
In A-plus ball, he had 35 games, and during those 35 games, he had 38 strikeouts, and in double A, he had 35 games, and he had 35 strikeouts, so he's a strikeout a game. He's a strikeout a game at every single level. There's been no change in it. The other thing that I would want to point out is this. His on-base percentage has stayed the same. 343 in 2018 in West Virginia, single A ball and low A ball. 345 in A-plus ball, and 346 on base in double-A ball. The real problem does not seem to be him getting on base or being fooled by pitches at a higher level. The real problem seems to be that he stopped slugging at a high rate. He was hitting the ball at a .488 slugging clip in West Virginia and a .515 when he went to A-plus ball, but when he got to AA in Altoona, it dropped to .412 in those 35 games. Now, you can make the argument that maybe all of a sudden he can't barrel it up as well, but it could also be it was the last 35 games of his season,
and he's tired.
And he needed to adjust a little bit, so let's give the guy a chance here. He's got some moxie. I know that he's already said that his goal this year is to find his way onto this roster before the year is over. He said that a few weeks ago in the media. And you know what? I know he's the 64th best prospect on MLB Pipeline. I know he's third in the Pirates system, but I think he gets up there before Cabrian Hayes. He's actually probably the second guy to get up there after Keller, of course, makes the team and finally stays up because they're going to stop messing with him.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the big thing with Cabrian Hayes is that, I mean, it's just like you still got Colin Moran there. They're putting Eric Gonzalez there. They're putting Jose Osuna there. And I don't know if Cabrian Hayes is going to do enough in this spring training to warrant being up there. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good ball player. It's just, it's also that it's spring training. I mean, they're talking to guys that have watched him play last year and saw him light it up in spring training last year and then go to back down to AAA thinking he might have a chance to come up, you know, and he struggled. And I know there was some injuries and everything, but I mean, if I've always said this before that no good player is blocked. You will force your way into the lineup if you are that much of a stud prospect. And it was very apparent to me, you know, when Josh Bell was coming up, that they could have easily said, you know, this isn't the right time, not the right team, whatever it would be. He forced his way up. He forced his way up by just basically hitting the cover off the ball. And when he got up here, he hit the cover off the ball in the beginning. So that's where it's just kind of frustrating me when people say they're blocked. Well, if they're blocked, then they're blocked by themselves. They're not blocked by, unless you have a absolute stud, all-star, you know, 6 WAR player, or I mean, even like say 3, 4, 5 WAR player, then you might be.
No,
blocked.
It doesn't matter, because then you would find another position to bring the guy up.
You'd bring
another guy up. You'd be like, you know what? We can't bring this guy up at short, so he's going to play center field or right field. There's no way that any prospect in Major League Baseball in this day and age should be blocked, because baseball players are better athletes than they used to be. Where now a guy can come up and he's a shortstop and he can be the outfielder. Guy can play outfield, he might be able to move into third base. Guys learn other positions. Catchers move to first. Catchers move to right field. There's no, if you can hit, you're going to play Major League Baseball. There will never be a player left in AAA who could go to the majors and hit 330 home runs. That's never going to happen. You're never going to hear about that one guy that was down in AAA for 10 years and he would have been great, but unfortunately he was blocked. That's a bunch of crap. I don't buy that in any way whatsoever. And you know what? As a franchise, you want to deal with that problem. We only have a little bit of time left, and I want to get into it before we get done from here. I hope you're not upset with me for saying this, but I want to get into it. Tyler Glasnow, in the press this week. There's some stuff going on. Tell everybody all about it. I because this is a great story. What's going on with Tyler,
former
Pirates pitcher, who we've said on this show several times, that's the reason why you have a new general manager, is because of that deal. But go ahead.
I jumped in the middle of this, and I was like, why is Colin Dunlap talking to Tyler Glasnow? So I went like back through like the tweets and everything, and I was looking, and basically Colin Dunlap is saying that he talked to some players or talked to some staff that basically put Tyler Glasnow's work ethic into question, that the reason he didn't succeed in Pittsburgh was because he didn't work hard enough, because of his work ethic.
Colin Dunlap is a host on the Fan Morning Show at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, And his exact tweet was this: if Charlie Morton or Gerrit Cole want to bitch about the way the Pirates develop them, I'm all ears. Their buy-in and work ethic was both 100%. Tyler Glasnow's words don't ring as strong. Blame Pirates, Searidge, some, but Glasnow far from an example of doing all he could. Glasnow's immediate response: nobody is bitching. I perform poorly in Pittsburgh. Nobody else's fault. All I said was that they don't use advanced data. I don't understand why you think you can comment on my work ethic. I don't remember seeing you during the practice. Now, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you this as somebody who was a member of the media for years in different markets and understands how all this works. Colin Dunlap probably has actual sources that have given him that indication, but those sources could have been within the organization trying to cover for how bad they were at actually helping Tyler Glasnow. And Tyler Glasnow has a point. If you weren't there, how can you go on Twitter and rip him for how he was doing? But the real point here is we are still sitting around. We have a guy from a morning show in Pittsburgh who's still sitting around talking about Charlie Morton, Gerrit Cole, and Tyler Glasnow. And guess what? It's over. They're gone. Move on. Okay? That was the last regime. If you heard stuff from the last regime and they all got fired because they were incompetent, you can't put stock into what they said.
No, but Chris, they're trying to extend Austin Meadows and they're trying to extend Tyler Glasnow, and that should have been us. And we, you know, everything and nutting and spend nutting, win nutting. I mean, come on.
But that was him. That was nutting. That was the thing. Like, if you want to be aggravated about it, but you have to separate who's in there now. And this is a new day. You know, it's the hardest thing. Like, today I had an argument with my children, as any father will have. I have a 14-year-old daughter. So I have a teenage daughter, and she's aggravated still about an argument she had with her mother last night. And she's still trying to bring it up today. And I stopped the whole thing. I said, hey, it's over. You had the argument. She punished you. You had your hug it out moment. It's over. There's a point where you have to say, move on. My feeling is you got to move on. Yeah, it sucks. It'd be great to have Tyler Glasnow right now. It'd be great to have Charlie Morton right now. It would be great. I mean, they have all these guys. They have Austin Meadows right now. It would be great to have Gerrit Cole. I get it, but you don't. And if you want to yell and scream about it, are you really going to blame the players when I'm sure you weren't saying it was the players' fault when you were yelling about nutting? It was nutting's fault, okay? The guy whose fault it was, you got rid of. The owner had to come out from his ivory tower and explain himself, remember? And the barbarians were at the gate. He had to fire everybody. How are our memories this short about this? You can't, if you know that the management of the team was so bad, why take shots on Twitter? That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. I don't know this guy. I don't know. I've never met him before. I'm just saying that if Dunlap wants to say those kind of things, I got to ask the question of why are we still having this argument?
Yeah, like, where's this conversation coming from?
What kind of personal interaction did you have with Tyler Glasnow that you feel after we've gone through all of this and we've understood how bad everything is and how bad things were with management that you still want to go out and peck a fight, out on Twitter? I don't get that. That's the thing I don't get.
Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly, you know, why you would even...
It's over. Move on.
...want to bring this stuff up. And I know that, you know, I don't know if he felt the need to defend Pittsburgh or so. I don't know. Colin, it just didn't make sense to me that, you know... I know Tyler Glasnow had come out and basically said he wasn't taught the advanced metrics, and I trust the players. I really trust the players that they weren't being taught this stuff. So, I mean, I don't know why this keeps on being brought up. When the season officially starts, can we please let...
Let's focus on the Pirates now.
Absolutely. Can we let the Neil Huntington stuff go?
In all of our conversations, we have to stop yelling about what happened in the past, because the guys that screwed it up got fired. The coach that screwed it up is fired. The general manager that screwed it up is fired. You can't fire the owner. But at this point, what is the point of dredging it all up if it's over? You don't want to be that fan 3 years from now saying you've been rebuilding for 12 years yelling at Ben Cherington. Don't do that. Ben Cherington is in like a month and a half in. You can't blame him for any of this stuff. You can't yell about anything that happened beforehand. People lost their jobs for mistakes. It's over now. This is a new day. Start over from here. Okay? Otherwise, you're just looking for something to yell about. We went way over today, Craig. I'm sorry. But that, when you told me that story, I didn't even know all the details until you finally ran it all down for me. And it got me hot under the collar. Okay? I'm sorry. And to be honest with you, both these guys could be great guys. But as somebody that worked in the media before, I don't get why you're picking that fight. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you picking that fight? It doesn't. To me, it's surprising that you want to pick that fight. There are other fights to go out and pick in the world, unless you had some sort of personal interaction with the guy and you've been waiting to take a shot. And maybe you are justified in it, maybe you're not. I don't know anything about your personal lives and your personal interactions, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And there's too much going on right now to make that like the headline of your show. It's hard to plan a morning show, trust me. I was a morning radio guy for 10 years. It's hard to plan a morning radio show. Sometimes you're starved for content. This is what it feels like. This feels like you're starved for content. You needed something to talk about for a few hours. So you took your shot. Now you can yell about it for 3 days. That's what it feels like to me. All right. Remember, you go to bucksinthebasement.com. You get all your Bucks information. You now have the new Inside the Bucks Basement that links right at bucksinthebasement.com. You get some great content. You got Craig there. You got Gary Morgan, formerly of Inside the Pirates. We're blowing up, baby. We keep getting bigger and bigger each and every week. Now I'm yelling about Radio Morning Guys in downtown Pittsburgh.
They're
going to be coming after me soon now.
It's like Colin Dunlap. Yeah. Just
put
just
on the boxing
there.
Gloves, baby. I'm ready to brawl. We're four fans. We're bi fans. We're Bucks in the Basement. Say goodbye, Craig.
Goodbye, Chris.
There you go.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.